We have two Bible readings. The first is Psalm 42, which can be found on page 567 in the Church Bibles. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. The second reading is in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 22, and is on page 1217. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply, from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay. Is that about the right volume? So we've been doing it's a bit loud. Is it a bit loud? Can I ask, I'm so sorry, the PA is like, it's like in the corner there. Thank you, Andy, sorry.
Great. One of these days we'll be organised and do like a sound check for the service and that kind of thing, but there we go. We have been thinking together about growth. So our memory verse for the year, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I thought we were going to break out into the song again then. So, but grow. So we've been thinking about growth. And this is our final three sessions where that has been our focus. Just as by way of warning, it is the final three kind of sessions up front, but I am going to write for us all a personal spiritual growth MOT, which I'd love everyone to have a think about and have a prayer about. And actually in our life groups this week, later in life groups, that's going to be the focus of our kind of small group sessions together as well. But here's a question, I think, that is raised when we think about growth. And the question is, okay, we're growing. It's like a really positive idea. Lots of us want to grow. But here's, I think, the most important question to ask, which is, Into what? Growing into what? Because here's the thing about growth. Actually, all of us are growing into something.
Okay, well, if you wanted to put it like, to use the diagram, which often I find helpful.
Okay, here's your life. All of us are growing into something. Okay, so so what are you growing into? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? What are you growing into? It's possible for us to grow into somebody who is increasingly anxious and controlling. Okay, have you seen that work in someone's life before? Okay, it starts off with like little seeds where we just feel anxious about life, and so we try and kind of manage our anxiety by controlling things around us and people around us, and that grows, and decades later you have grown into someone who is utterly controlling of other people and of the environment around you.
Grow into something.
Okay, or you could grow into someone who is just utterly self-indulgent. And again, the seeds are planted early in life and then it just keeps going unchecked. And decades later, that's you. That's who you have become. And the shape of your body, of your spending, of your heart, all show that that has been the story of your life. That's who you have become. Or maybe you are growing into something that is proud and judgmental. Okay, have you come across this? You know, it starts off maybe as a way of managing my insecurities. You know, I feel low about myself, bad about myself, so I kind of squash other people down to kind of build myself up, and that just kind of goes on. And decades later, what have you grown into? And we've all met people like this, haven't we? People who have become experts at using their language just to implicitly put people down all of the time. And that's what you have become. Or perhaps what you become is someone who is just controlled by fear. Controlled by what other people think of us. And almost every time anyone says anything to us, the conversation goes immediately round our heads as we reply and we think, gosh, what did I say? How did they hear it? You know, are they thinking this about me or that about me? And just, that is the person you have become. Okay, here's the thing, we're all growing. But the important question to ask is into what? And what's true for individuals? It's true for churches as well. Churches grow into something. Okay, so have you ever been to a church that feels insular? How does that happen? It grows over time. It's a direction. You end up there eventually. Or loveless, or worldly, or spiritually proud. Okay, everybody is growing. All of us are growing. Questions. Into what are you growing? Okay, where is the arrow of your life taking you? Or to put it perhaps most simply and personally, who are you becoming? Now, we've been seeing together that following Jesus is all about growth. But it's a particular kind of growth. He's growing a kingdom. He grows a kingdom by drawing people into it and then growing those people, disciples, followers of Jesus. He's growing, but it's a particular kind of growth. And as our memory verse puts it, grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay, so where is the direction, where does the arrow point for a Christian growing? Okay, it points to Jesus. Right, so following Jesus is all about growing in the knowledge and love of Jesus and increasingly reflecting his likeness in our lives. Now just think about that. Because that is glorious. Right, so imagine that your life increasingly reflected his love, his self-control, his humility, his confidence. You know, sometimes us C of E churches, we have a confession that talks about sinning in word and thought and deed. Now just think about that in reverse. Right, so imagine this arrow pointing to Jesus in word and thought and deed. Just think about your thought life to start with. Imagine if your inner life was the same inner life as that of Jesus. Okay, total peace, total self-control, all of the fears replaced by a genuine heartfelt love for God and for other people. Okay, instead of that kind of insipid focus on self that is the story of most of our lives, instead a joyful service of others, the thought life of Jesus just operating in your heart. Okay, or words. You know, Jesus always spoke words of life-giving truth. Now just imagine if every time you opened your mouth at work or in your family or whatever, it was a bit like, you know, people's experience of you speaking was like when the sun suddenly comes out on a cloudy day. It just brings light and life. Yeah, imagine if you were the kind of words that you speak, like Jesus, were the kind of words that people eventually learn to stop and listen to because they are always so full of wisdom and grace and insight and love and truth. Okay, word, thought, and deed. I mean, just think about the actions of Jesus. Love and service, restoration, wherever he went, peacemaking. Always busy in God's service, but never hurried. And imagine if you could grow increasingly like that yourself. It gets a glorious picture, isn't it? It's just me who just thinks, oh, yes, that's what I want to grow into. Now, when the Bible talks about salvation, that's what it's talking about. Sometimes we think of salvation as like having a card in our pocket that basically does nothing until we die. And then we pull out the card and we say, look, I prayed a prayer and I trusted in Jesus when I was 16, so hopefully I can get into heaven now. Now listen, of course Jesus forgives us the moment we put our trust in him, that's true. But salvation is so much bigger and richer and more comprehensive than that. It's about the shaping of an entire life. Okay, this direction, growth into Jesus. And here's the thing. And we've got to realise this. This is not going to happen by chance. Okay, if we want this to be the direction, if we want to grow into this rather than any of the other things that we talked about, it's not going to happen by chance. In fact, if you do nothing, you will grow into something different than this. Okay, like cliffs. And the sea that just kind of pounds. It looks like it's doing nothing, but, you know, eventually those cliffs get totally shaped by the sea. And if you do nothing, your life will become, you will become one of those other things. Okay, unless you intentionally say, no, this is what I want to become. This is who I want to be. Okay, so here's the question then that we're going to just think through for the rest of our time together this morning. And it's this. It's simple, but I think it's important. And it's, how do we pursue growth in this direction? Given that all of us are growing, how do I make sure that I am growing in this direction? And I think that's what our verses from 1 Peter are going to help us with. Okay, so if you've lost the page, it's 1 2 1 7. 1 2 1 7. And three things that we're going to see, okay, that are going to kind of take us, grow us in this direction rather than any other. And here is the foundation. Okay, which is new life. Okay, new life. So just have a look with me from 1 Peter chapter 1 and have a look at verse 22 and 23. He says, now you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. For, in other words, this is now giving us the foundation, the reason that their lives are now being changed and shaped by love. For, this is how it happens, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Do you see that, this new life that they're being called to live has a foundation for you have been born again? In other words, without the new life that Jesus offers, being born again, as it puts it here, you cannot hope to grow at all. Now have a look at what life is like without being born again, without receiving this new life of Jesus. Do you see it's in that quote, verse 24? For all people are like grass, and all the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Okay, wither, fall. That is life in our world, which has been ruined by sin. Okay, that is us. We wither and we fall. But Jesus has opened up a new way. As Peter puts it right at the start of the letter, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." So he says, look, this word that was preached to you is a word about a resurrection, but it's more than that. It's a word that brings about your resurrection. Right, so when you trust in Jesus, the subject of this eternal living word of God, he says, come on in. My new life, my resurrection life, I will give it to you as a gift. That's where the Christian life begins. New life from Jesus. Now, trying to make the arrow of your life going in this direction, to grow in Jesus, trying to do that without having received the new life of Jesus is a total non-starter. It's like a branch that has been severed from the tree trying to spout buds. Okay, you can't do it. It's like a child that hasn't been born trying to grow. It's just all impossible. It's all the wrong way around. Okay, the only way we can grow as followers of Jesus is if you start out by receiving, by grace, the new life that he has been given. And this is a mistake that so many people make. So many people try to go on this journey of growth in Jesus without receiving this new life. Okay, the technical word for it is moralism. Okay, it says, look, Jesus, what a great example. Oh my goodness, so inspiring. Wouldn't it be great to be like him? Amen to that. But what happens if we just try and do that under our own steam? You know, it's like, right, there's Jesus. Good luck, everyone. Okay, you are going to fail. All of us will fail. And even if you do quite well, you'll just feel proud about it. Okay, this is the kind of Jordan Peterson style 10 rules for life. Okay, it only gets you so far. Right, so the person who, I don't know, they dutifully attend church, perhaps for decades, and yet there has been no deep personal transformation of the heart into the likeness of Jesus because they have not taken this foundational step. Okay, receiving the new life of Jesus, and that might even be some of us here today. Okay, so that's step one, new life. Here is step number two. Okay, can you read that? New appetite. So just have a look down at how Peter continues. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. He says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, that word crave, pure spiritual milk. It's quite a strong word, that word crave. Okay, it's the same word actually that comes up in the Psalms. We had one of them read. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of living water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. It's the same word in the original language. Okay, this idea of craving. Okay, it's talking about our appetite. And what's this appetite for? Do you see verse 3? Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So in other words, having received the new life of Jesus, you think, well, this is good. And you develop an appetite for more. Now, obviously with like kids and especially babies, appetite is actually one of the kind of fundamental indicators of health. Right, so if you have a baby and they have no appetite, you take them straight to the hospital because there's a serious problem if that's the case. It doesn't matter how many gallons of kind of high-value nutritional milk is available. Okay, if there is no appetite, there can be no growth. And actually, appetite is a fundamental indication of spiritual health as well. Okay, if there's no appetite for Jesus, there can be and will be no growth in our lives. So what does it feel like to have this new appetite that he talks about here? Well, it looks like deep satisfaction and deep dissatisfaction. Okay, so firstly, satisfaction. Do you see how it puts it again in verse 3? Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, so we are deeply satisfied in Jesus. And by the way, this is so different, isn't it? You've tasted that he's good. This is so different from saying, well, you know, I kind of intellectually reasoned that probably it was most likely that God did exist, that he didn't exist. And then I looked at Jesus and I thought, well, the evidence for the resurrection is very compelling, so I was left with no other option otherwise than to become a Christian. Okay, now listen, it is a rational step coming to trust in Jesus, but it's so much more. It's tasting that the Lord is good. Oh my goodness, I was lost and Jesus found me. I was dead. And he brought me to life. You know, I was kind of running myself to hell. And he said, no, you don't. You're coming with me to eternal life. And I think, oh, Lord, what mercy. What goodness for me. Tasted that he is good. Deeply satisfied in Jesus. But also deeply dissatisfied. That's what hunger's all about, isn't it? When you're hungry, you're dissatisfied, right? Because you need something more. And that's the dynamic in the Christian life. As satisfied I am as I am in Jesus, I am deeply dissatisfied in how little I know him at the moment. And how little my life reflects him. I think, oh Lord, you know, I feel like I'm kind of, you know, like down here somewhere. I want to be up here. And up here, in fact, I want to be, Lord, I wish my life could be more shaped by Jesus. Because, you know, unless you are deeply dissatisfied with your spiritual maturity, you will never take the steps to grow. And so do you see, that's what this appetite feels like. Deeply satisfied in the goodness of Jesus. Deeply dissatisfied in the way that that's impacting my own life. And a desire, a hunger, that it might do more and more. And if you're thinking, oh boy, I would love to grow this appetite personally. Then again, verse 3 is the key. Now that you've tasted, the Lord is good. We talk about whetting our appetite, don't we? Go back to Jesus. Taste his goodness again. Say, Lord, oh, grow my appetite. C.S. Lewis has this famous quote. He says, it would seem our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. He's talking about a relationship with God. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because you cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. Okay, so new life, new appetite. And as we kind of round into land, here's the final thing. Okay, a new diet. A new diet. Do you see the diet? Verse 2. crave pure spiritual milk. Okay, we were on a diet of junk food in verse 1. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. And Peter's saying, look, you need the good stuff if you're going to grow. Pure spiritual milk. It's kind of I find it interesting at the moment that everyone's becoming so kind of into diet. We had Tim Spector speaking at the Henry Literary Festival. Anyone go and see him? Okay, he's like a dietitian. He's, I think, as close as you get to is like a rock star dietitian. You know, it's like everyone follows him on Instagram and everyone's getting into like gut health and all that kind of stuff. And I guess we're a bit more aware that like what you put in does make a bit of a difference. Okay, diet is maybe an important thing, but what about your spiritual diet? Okay, if your life is about growing in this direction, don't you think that diet, spiritual diet, is going to make an impact on how and in what direction you grow? And that's exactly what Peter says. He says, crave pure spiritual milk. What is this pure spiritual milk? Well, do you know, God has, in his grace, has given us things that help us increasingly to taste that the Lord Jesus is good. Okay, Christians have called them perhaps means of grace or spiritual disciplines. They've got different ways of describing them, but they are the things that God has given us that help us increasingly to taste and know that Jesus is good. So what are some of these aspects of our new diet if we want to grow? Well, here are some as they're outlined in the very first church community in the book of Acts. We looked at this a few weeks ago. So those who had accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Okay, so look, there are four bits of spiritual diet are up there, aren't they? Apostles' teaching. Okay, so that's talking about the word of God. The word of God that endures forever, as Peter just put it. Okay, is your diet full of the word of God? Okay, if it isn't, you cannot expect to grow. There is no other Jesus than the Jesus made known to us here in the scriptures. This is how we get to know him. This is how we get to know his love for us, how we grow in every way as his people. Okay, they devoted themselves. You see the appetite there? To the apostles' teaching. But not just the apostles' teaching, to fellowship. It's talking about being the body of Christ. When you're saved, you are saved into a family. Okay, and God has set this family up to be essential for your growth. You cannot grow apart from the family that God has created you to belong to. There is no other pathway to growth, which is why they devoted themselves not just to the apostles' teaching, but to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. So when we receive communion, we say the words, receive the body of Christ, feed on him in your hearts by faith and with great thanksgiving. We kind of very tangibly take the bread and the wine to receive Jesus spiritually in our hearts, to remember his great love and all that he's done for us. And that is a means of growth in our lives. And also prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer because this new life that Jesus gives us, it's a relationship. It's not a seminar course. It's not like, oh, let's just learn a few more facts. It's a relationship. And we express that relationship in prayer. And so that is a key means of grace, spiritual discipline, part of our new diet. If we want to grow, if we want the arrow of our lives to be this way, we need to receive a new life that Jesus offers to foster this new appetite and to diligently, with focus and perseverance, from year to year and decade to decade, make this new diet part of the fabric of our lives. And do you notice all these things, these spiritual disciplines, they centre on the goodness of Jesus, whether it's learning about him in the word, enjoying his presence among his people, okay, tasting him in the bread and the wine, enjoying fellowship with him in prayer. Because the goal of this is to increasingly taste that the Lord Jesus is good. Okay, but it does take discipline to do this. Effort. Okay, effort is not opposed to grace. Earning is opposed to grace. Effort is what flows out of the gospel and is empowered by the Spirit. And that's what will enable us to keep growing as God's people. So listen, I just want to finish actually with three pictures that I hope will help just to kind of bed this in. We're about 2 minutes away from finishing here, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. Three pictures. And if you're a kind of visual thinker, maybe just close your eyes. It might help you to think. So this is you. This is your life. And picture number one, you're in a cab. Okay, you're in your 90s. I don't know how many decades away that is for you, but you're in your 90s, you're in a care home, your other half has since passed away. And it's just a room. And everything that you have is now in that room. And your family, they visit you from time to time, and you know that the carers do a great job looking after you. And here's the question, who have you become? Who are you? How do you relate to those care home staff? What's going on in your heart? Are you full of regret or peace? Are you full of anxiety and bitterness or forgiveness and love? Who have you become? Picture number two. It's a church service, it's a funeral. The coffin is coming down and it's yours. And your family are there, your friends are there, and everyone's sad, they're desperately sad that you're not around anymore. And someone's getting up and they're reading the eulogy. What are they saying about you? What did you become? In what direction did you grow? Picture number three, a couple of decades further on. And this is your son or your daughter, perhaps a close friend, a niece. And do you know, they're in their mid-40s, mid-50s. They've opened up a Bible for the first time in ages. And they're reading about Jesus. And as they read about Jesus, do you know what they think? They think, oh wow, that was just like Dad. That was just like Mum. What you are then is a result of what you pursue today. Okay, into what are you growing? All of us are growing. What are you growing into? What you are then is a result of what you pursue today. And isn't it so easy to say, yeah, this new diet, I'll make time for it tomorrow. And then tomorrow we say the same, tomorrow. And you know, decades go by and people say tomorrow. Decades go by and the water is lapping at the cliffs and you are being shaped into something you never wanted to become. But you did just because you kept saying tomorrow. Do you know, in the Bible, God says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it, you may grow up into your salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you call us. In Jesus, you save us, you redeem us, we belong to you, and you are doing a deep work of grace in us. Father, we want to grow for our lives to be an arrow that grows in the direction of Jesus. Help us to receive his new life, grow this new appetite and help us to diligently avail ourselves of these means of grace so that we might continue to grow in him. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.